and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of The Headless Ghost by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm once again recording from the bath, and once again, as soon as I start talking, despite the fact that it was filling up for the last 10 minutes, the cat is joining me, so hopefully she doesn't dive in again. The entire bath now looks like... Well, I'm colorblind, right? So to me, it looks like someone just slaughtered a Smurf in here, but it's purple. So, you know, blue and purple are one color to me. So, I don't know, it looks like someone, you know, hacked up Grimace or something like that. Grimace is purple, right? Whatever, that fucker loves milkshakes. I'm keeping up with my weekly release schedule. However, recording later today because I recorded a bunch of other shit earlier with Sam to the Skills with a Z that most likely is going to be a new podcast with me and Sam Skills that like four people listen to. So that's exciting. And however, the release schedule is going to have to take a break because I will not be in town next week. So next Saturday, no Goosebumps. Email me or tweet me or whatever when you know what one you want to hear. But that would be the week after because I'll be in New Orleans, which is super spooky, with the old girlfriend and the brother and the brother's fiance. So, anyway, recording from the bath, drinking Steel Reserve, which is probably a bad plan because I've been drinking for like 12 hours. Chapter number 17. The room stood empty. Empty, silent, and dark. What happened? Where is everyone? Stephanie cried. Damn it, I feel like if I read the chapter before, right before this, I would be disappointed by the horrible cut and the suspense of, and this was going on, and turn the page, next chapter, turns out nothing was going on. Anyway, we took another step into the dark room. The floor creaked beneath us, the only sound. I don't get it, Stephanie whispered. Didn't we just hear voices in here? Lots, I said. They were laughing and talking. It sounded like a real party. I even heard Andrew W.K. A big party, Stephanie added, her eyes darting around the empty room. Tons of people. A cold chill ran down the back of my neck. I don't think we heard people, I whispered. Stephanie turned to me. Huh? They weren't people, I croaked. They were ghosts. Her mouth dropped open. And they all disappeared when we opened the door? I nodded. I think I can still feel them in here. I feel their presence. Aw, this just makes me want to go on the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. Last time I went to Disneyland a few weeks ago, it was closed because they were getting rid of all the Nightmare Before Christmas shit. Stephanie let out a frightened squeak. Feel them? What do you mean? At that moment, a cold wind came whooshing through the room, out of my butthole. It was an ice fart. It rushed over me, cold and dry, and it chilled me down to my toes. Stephanie must have felt it too. She wrapped her arms around her chest and did her best impersonation of Gucci Mane. Brr! Do you feel that breeze? Is the window open? How come it got so cold in here all of a sudden? She asked like an idiot that wasn't aware of how ghosts work. She shivered again. Her voice became tiny. We're not alone in here, are we? I don't think so, I whispered. I think we just crashed someone's party. Stephanie and I stood there, feeling the cold of the room. I didn't dare move. Maybe a ghost stood right beside me. Maybe the ghosts we heard were all around us, staring at us, groping us, preparing to swoop over us. Stephanie, I whispered. What if we really have crashed their party? What if we've invaded the ghosts' quarters? Stephanie swallowed hard. She didn't reply. Hadn't Andrew, the ghost boy, lost his head when he stumbled into the ghosts' living quarters? Were we standing in the same living quarters? The same room where Andrew found the ghost of the old sea captain? To find out, turn to page 56. Stephanie, I think we should get out of here, I said softly. Now. I wanted to run. I wanted to fly down the stairs, fly out of Hill House, fly to my safe, warm home where there were no ghosts, just an abusive alcoholic father. No ghosts. We spun around and bolted for the door. Were the ghosts going to try to stop us? No. We made it back into the flickering orange light of the hallway. I pulled the door shut behind us. The stairs! Where are the stairs? Stephanie cried. We stood at the end of the hall, facing a solid wall. A hall wall. Brought to you by Paul Wall. The flowers on the wallpaper appeared to open and close, moving in the darting candlelight. Damn, this is some old Harry Potter shit, I said. I banged both fists against the wall. How do we get out of here? How? Stephanie had already pulled open a door across the hall. I followed her inside. Oh no! Ghostly figures filled the room. It took me a few seconds to realize that I was staring at sheets pulled over furniture, chairs and couches covered with sheets. Maybe this is the ghost's living room, I stammered like a complete tardo. I shouldn't be drinking this. I've already had enough to drink. I shouldn't be doing that. And then I realized the water I have is positioned where it's like 18 inches from my head rather than an inch and a half. So I'm just going to keep drinking Steel Reserve when my mouth gets dry. Stephanie didn't hear me. She had already burst through the open door against the far wall. I followed her into another room cluttered with large crates. The crates were piled nearly to the ceiling. This was like an old platform video game. Another room, then another. My heart began to pound, my throat ached. I felt so discouraged. Were we ever gonna find a way to the stairs? Another door, another dark, empty room. Hey, Steph, I whispered. I think we're going in circles. Out into a long, twisted hallway. More candles, more flowers flickering darkly on the wallpaper. We ran side by side down the hall until we came to a door I hadn't seen before. A door with a horseshoe nailed onto it.
Maybe it's where they keep the horseshoes.
Maybe it meant that our luck was about to change. I sure hope so. I grabbed the knob with my trembling hand. Ooh, it felt good when I trembled my hand on the knob. Ooh, I should start trembling my hand on my knob more often. I pulled open the door. A staircase, yes! I cried. Finally, Stephanie gasped. This must be the servant's staircase, I guessed. Maybe we've been in the servant's quarters this whole time. The stairway was blanketed in darkness. Dark like the old servants. The stairs look steep. I took a step down, holding onto the wall. Then another step. Stephanie had one hand on my shoulder. When I stepped down, she stepped down too. Another step. Another. The soft thuds of our sneakers echoed in the deep stairwell. We had taken about 10 steps when I heard footsteps. Someone coming up the stairs.
Steel Reserve. I'm sorry. I said that I should add water instead of you. You know, you're the only drink for me.
After 18. Stephanie bumped me hard. I shot out both hands, grabbed the wall to keep from falling down the stairs. No time to turn and run. The footsteps grew louder and heavier. Light from a flashlight swept over Stephanie, then me. Squinting against the light, I saw a dark figure climbing up to us. So there you are, his voice boomed, echoing in the stairwell. A familiar voice. Oh my god, it might be Snape. Let's find out. Otto! Stephanie and I both cried. Nope, not Snape. He bounced up in front of us, moving the flashlight from her face to mine. What are you two doing up here? He demanded breathlessly.
We got lost, I answered quickly. We got separated from the tour? Stephanie added, we tried to find you. Yes, we tried, I chimed in. We were searching everywhere, but we couldn't catch up to the group. Otto lowered the flashlight. I could see his tiny, dark eyes narrowing at us. I don't think he believed our story. I thought you two knew my tour by heart, he said, rubbing his chin. Or chins. Scarlet, you be quiet. We do, Stephanie insisted. We just got turned around. We got lost and we... You stop it. But how did you end up on the top floor? Otto demanded. Well, I started, but I couldn't think of a good answer. I turned back to Stephanie on the step above me. We heard voices up here. We thought it was you, she told Otto. It wasn't exactly a lie. We did hear voices. Otto lowered the beam of light to the stairs. Well, let's get back downstairs. No one is allowed on this floor. It's private. Hey, Mimi, no one is allowed in the bathroom while I'm reading Goosebumps. It's private. Okay, you can sit on the toilet. She's just watching me. Otto lowered the beam of light to the stairs. Well, let's get back downstairs. No one is allowed on this floor. It's private. Sorry, Stephanie and I muttered. Watch your step, kids, Otto warned. These back stairs are very steep and rickety. I'll lead you back to the group. Edna took over for me while I went to find you. Edna was our second favorite tour guide. She was old and white-haired, very pale and fragile-looking, especially in her black tour guide outfit. But she was a great storyteller. Maybe she should go on VH1. Because they had a show called Storytellers 20 years ago. With her quivering old voice, she made you really believe every frightening story she told. Stephanie and I eagerly clumped down the stairs, following Otto. His flashlight swept in front of us as he led us out onto the second floor. We followed a long hallway, a hallway I knew very well. We stopped outside Joseph Craw's study. Joseph was Andrew's father. I peeked inside. A bright fire blazed in the fireplace. Edna stood beside the fireplace, telling the tragic story of Joseph Craw to the tour group. Near a fireplace! Stephanie and I had heard the sad story 100 times. A year after Andrew had his head lopped the fuck off, Joseph came home late one winter night. He took off his coat, then moved to the fireplace to warm himself. No one knows how Joseph was burned up. I feel like I could manage to get drunk enough to set myself on fire and die. Ooh, how sweet would that be if it was a prediction of my own death? Also, speaking of things I predict and not predict, I tweeted last night from... Let me pull up my fucking phone. It's always good when I'm holding a book in a bath and belligerently drunk, and now I'm holding my phone, which I need... Anyway, Andrew McCarney... Oh, no, it's not Mick Carney. Andrew M. Carney had to explain to me on Twitter that I... possibly spoiled the ending of Breaking Bad via this podcast, which I have no recollection of, and I kind of feel terrible, but come on. You guys knew I was a douchebag from the beginning when I announced I'm sitting here naked in the bath drinking malt liquor and about to read bootleg goddamn audiobooks. Come on. At least, that's how Otto, Edna, and the other guides tell the story. Was he pushed into that bitch? Did he fall in? One guess is as good as another. But when the maid came into the study the next morning, she found a horrifying sight. She found two charred, blackened hands gripping the mantle. Two hands holding on tightly to the marble mantelpiece. All that was left of Joseph Craw. It's a yucky story, isn't it? It gives me the chills every time I hear it. Maybe R.L. Stine could get me a job as a tour guide at one of these places. You know, I'd be like, hey-oh, sup, bitches? Don't mind the flask I'm nipping off now. And then I just lie about historical places. That'd be good. I need to get money somehow. I'm tired of being broke. I'm gonna be like 30 in 3 years. Then what? What am I doing with my life? As Otto led us to the study, Edna was just getting to the sickening part. The ending. Do you want to rejoin the group? Otto whispered. It's pretty late. I think we'd better get home, Stephanie told him. I quickly agreed. Thanks for rescuing us. We'll catch the tour again soon. Good night, Otto said, clicking off his flashlight. You know the way out? He hurried into the study. I started to leave, but stood when I saw the boy again. The pale boy with the wavy blonde hair. The boy in the black jeans and black turtleneck. He stood away from the tour group, close to the door. And he was staring at Stephanie and me again, staring hard at us. A cold expression on his face like a Russian. Come on, I whispered, grabbing Stephanie's arm. I tugged her away from the study door. We quickly found the front stairway. A few seconds later, we pushed open the front door and stepped outside. A cold wind greeted us as we started down the hill. Wisps of black cloud floated like snakes over the moon. That was a good sentence, Arlstein.
Thanks, Zachary.
Apparently he doesn't call me Dune. He calls me by my real name. Speaking of Dune, my girlfriend just got a tattoo of like a Valentine's Day heart with the name Dune in it. So, it's cute. But now, you know, now she can't break up with me because I sit around drunk all day reading children's books. Well, that was fun, Stephanie declared. She zipped her coat to her chin. Fun? I wasn't so sure. It was kind of scary. Stephanie grinned at me. But we weren't afraid, right? I shivered.
Right.
I'd like to go back and explore some more, she said. You know, maybe go back to that room with all the voices. Find some real ghosts. Yeah, great, I agreed. I didn't feel like arguing with that bitch. I felt really tired. She pulled a wool muffler from her coat pocket. As she swung it around her neck, one end caught on a low pine bush. Hey! She cried out. I moved to the bush and started to pull the muffler free. And that's when I heard the voice. Just a whisper. A whisper from the other side of the bush. But I heard it very clearly. Did you find my head? That's what I heard. Did you find my head? Did you find it for me?
How's this motherfucker talking without a head? Gee.
I'm gonna go save the audio track, because if I lose this gold, I'm never finishing this book, am I right?
Chapter number 19.
I uttered a startled gasp and stared into the bush.
Stephanie, did you hear that shit?
I choked out. No reply.
Stephanie? Steph?
I spun around. She was staring at me, her mouth open in surprise. Did you hear that whisper? I asked again. Then I realized she wasn't staring at me. She was staring past me.
Just like all the girls do. Meh, friend zone. Meh, I'm a douchebag. Meh, meh, meh.
I turned and saw the strange blonde boy standing there beside the pine bush. Hey, did you just whisper to us? I demanded sharply. He narrowed his pale gray eyes at me.
Huh? Me?
Yeah, you, asshole, I snapped. Were you trying to scare us? He shook his head. No way! You didn't whisper from behind this bush? I asked again. I just got out here, the boy insisted. We saw him in Joseph Craw's study less than a minute ago, I told myself. How did he get out here so fast? Why'd you follow us? Stephanie demanded, shoving her muffler around her coat collar. Girls in muff. The boy shrugged. Why were you staring at us? I asked, stepping up close to Stephanie. The wind howled,
stood over the hilltop. The row of pine bushes shook in the gusty wind, as if shivering. Thin black clouds continued to snake their way over the pale moon. The boy wore no coat, only the black turtleneck and black jeans. The wind fluttered his long, wavy hair. "He saw you staring at us," Stephanie repeated. "How come?" He shrugged again. He kept his strange gray eyes down at the ground.
"I saw you sneak away," he said. "I wondered if you saw anything interesting."
"We got lost," I told him, glancing at Stephanie's fucking fine-ass titties. "We didn't see much." "What's your name?" Stephanie asked,
with her fucking fine-ass titties.
It's funny because I took something that wasn't funny and then did it again, and it was equally as unfunny. "Seth," he replied. We told him our names. "Do you live in Wheeler Falls?" Stephanie asked. He shook his head. He kept his eyes down at his shoes.
"No, I'm just visiting."
Why wouldn't he look at us? Was he just shy? "Are you sure you didn't whisper something from behind that bush?" I asked. He shook his head.
"No way. Maybe someone was playing a joke on you."
"Maybe," I said. I stepped closer and kicked the bush.
Rule number one of lovemaking, don't ever kick the bush.
I don't know what I expected, but nothing happened.
Good writing.
"You and Stephanie went exploring on your own?" Seth asked.
"Yeah, a little," I confessed.
"We're kind of into ghosts." When I said that, he jerked his head up. He raised his gray eyes and gazed hard at Stephanie, then me. His face had been blank, no life in it, no expression at all. But now I could see that he was really excited.
"Do you want to see some real ghosts?" he asked us, staring and shit.
"Do you?"
I bet they're going to say yeah.
The 20th chapter. Seth stared at us as if challenging us. As if being physically and mentally challenged. "Do you too want to see some real ghosts?"
"Yeah, sure," Stephanie replied, returning his stare.
"What do you mean, Seth?" I demanded. "Have you ever seen a real ghost?"
He nodded.
"Yeah, in there." He pointed with his head back to the big stone house.
"Huh?" I cried. "You saw a real ghost in Hill House? When?"
"Dwayne and I have taken the tour 100 times, Stephanie told him. "We've never seen any ghost in there."
He snickered.
"Of course not. Do you think the ghosts come out when the tour groups are there? They wait till the house closes. They wait until all the tourists go home."
"How do you know?" I asked.
"I sneaked in," Seth replied, "late one night."
"You what?" I cried. "How?" "I found a door around back. It was unlocked. I guessed everyone forgot about it," Seth explained. "I sneaked in after the house was closed. And I..." He stopped suddenly. His eyes were on the house. I turned and saw the front door open. People stepped out, fastened their coats and shit like that around them so it wasn't like cold. The last tour had ended. People were heading home.
"Over here," Seth whispered.
We followed him behind the pine bushes and ducked down low.
"You saw all of them."
I was going to make a joke about dolomite. And then, my brain stopped working. I think it was like, "Hey, you're white. You can't make dolomite jokes." And I was like, okay. The people walked past us. They were laughing and talking about the house and all the ghost stories. When they were down the hill, we stood up again. Seth brushed his long hair off his forehead, but the wind blew it right back. I sneaked in late at night when the house was dark. He repeated.
"Your parents let you go out so late at night?" I asked.
A strange smile crossed his lips. They didn't know, he said softly. His smile faded. Your parents let you two out? Stephanie laughed. Our parents don't know shit. Good, Seth replied. And you really saw a ghost? I asked. He nodded, brushed his hair back again. I crept past Manny, the night watchman. He was sound, asleep, snoring away. I made my way to the front of the house. I was standing at the bottom of the big staircase when I heard a laugh. I gulped. You heard someone having a laugh? From the top of the stairs, I backed up against the wall. I saw the ghost, a very old lady in a long dress and a black bonnet. She wore a heavy black veil in front of her face, but I could see her eyes through the veil. I could see them because they glowed bright red like fire. Wow! Stephanie cried. What did she do? Seth turned to the house. The front door had closed. The lantern over the door had been put out. The house stood in total darkness. The ghost came sliding down the banister. What is this fucking ghost, Bart Simpson? I don't think Bart Simpson slid down a banister since the 90s. Eat my shorts. She tossed back her head and screamed all the way down. As she slid, her red eyes left a bright trail, like the trail of a comet, or how you'll see things if you do too much acid due to brain damage. Weren't you scared? I asked Seth. Didn't you try to run? There was no time, he replied. She came sliding down the banister right toward me, eyes blazing, screaming like some kind of crazy animal. I was pressed against the wall. I couldn't move. And when she reached the bottom, I thought she'd grab me. But that bitch vanished. She disappeared into the darkness. And all that was left was a slime trail down the banister. Damn. All that was left was the faint red glow floating in the air, the glow of her eyes. Oh, wow, Stephanie cried. By the way, guys, you know what page that was? Yeah, you do. 69. That is awesome, I agreed, having the same vocabulary as Dune. I want to sneak back in again, Seth declared, watching the house. I'll bet there are more ghosts in there. I really want to see them. Me too, Stephanie cried eagerly. Seth smiled at her. So, you'll come with me tomorrow night? I don't want to go back alone. Oh, it'll be so much fun if you come too. The wind swirled sharply. The black clouds rolled over the moon, covering it, shutting out its light. The old house appeared to grow darker on its hilltop perch. So you'll come with me tomorrow night? Seth asked again. Yeah, great, Stephanie told him. I can't wait. How about you, Duane? She turned to me. You'll come too, won't you, Duane? Won't you?
Chapter number 21.
I said yes. I said I couldn't wait to see a real ghost. I said I was shivering because of the cold wind, not because I was scared. I made a plan to meet at midnight tomorrow at the back of Hill House. Then Seth hurried away, and Stephanie and I walked home. The street was dark and empty. Most of the house lights were out, except for those of our tweaker neighbors. Far in the distance, a dog howled. Franklin hit it. I think Franklin's downstairs. My bath is upstairs. Stephanie and I walked quickly, leaning into the wind. We usually didn't stay out this late. Tomorrow night, we'd be out even later. I don't trust that guy, I told Stephanie as we reached her front yard. He's too weird. I expect her to agree, but she said, you're just jealous, Duane. Huh? Me? Jealous? I can't believe I said that like a low rent Alfred E. Newman. Why would I be jealous? I don't think you're ready for this jelly. This is where I wish my fingers weren't slightly wettish so I could turn the page. Because Seth is so brave. Because he saw a ghost and we didn't. I shook my head. Do you believe that crazy story about ghosts sliding down the banister leaving their fucking Coos juice on that shit? I think you made that shit up. Well, Stephanie replied thoughtfully, we'll find out tomorrow night, won't we? Ooh, this one has a drinking break. Seems like he never puts drinking breaks in the first half of the book. Tomorrow night came too quickly. I had a math test in the afternoon. I didn't think I did too well on it. I couldn't stop thinking about Seth, about Hill House, about that big old teddies, and ghosts. Did I pronounce that poorly? Ghosts. After dinner, Mom cornered me in the living room. She brushed back my hair and studied my face. Why do you look so tired? She asked. You have dark circles around your eyes like Dune. Maybe I'm part raccoon, I replied. That's what I always say when she tells me I have circles around my eyes. I know it's insensitive to our African-American father. I think you should go to bed early tonight. Hey, I think you should go to bed early tonight. Dad chimed in the worst black voice fucking ever. Dad always thinks that everyone should go to bed early. So I went to my room at 9:30. But of course I didn't sleep. I read a book and listened to a tape on my Walkman. Hey kids, you know what Walkmen are? It's like a... Before iPods, there was a little thing that you put a cassette into. I actually think before that, there was the radio version. I don't know if it was called a Walkman. Someone could tell me on Twitter, and then I'll be like, oh, okay. And then there are cassettes. I have a Walkman in there because I don't have anything to play CDs. God, my brain's scattered right now. This is where Lax Dude will accuse me of being on drugs. And I will not confirm or deny. And then, oh yeah, so I don't have anything to play CDs. The CD drive on my computer doesn't fucking work. And I don't have a CD player of any sort, or a Discman, and my car has a fucking cassette deck because I'm a fucking Rockefeller. So, use cassettes and have a Walkman, and it has an eighth input so I can actually record from my computer on the Walkman so I can make tapes a little Be the Bass God. And waited for Mom and Dad to go back to bed and watched the clock. Mom and Dad are very heavy sleepers due to the Ambien. You can pound and pound on their bedroom door, and they don't stop fucking. Nor do they wake up. They once slept through a hurricane! That's the truth. They didn't hear the tree that fell onto our house. Stephanie's parents are heavy sleepers, too. That's why it's so easy for the two of us to sneak out of our bedroom windows. That's why it's so easy for us to haunt the neighborhood at night. As the clock neared midnight, I wished we were going out on one of our usual haunting trips. I wish we were going to hide under Chrissy Jacobs' window and howl like wolves and then toss rubber spiders into Ben Fuller's bed. But Stephanie had decided that was too boring. We needed excitement. We needed to go ghost hunting. We needed to cut just to feel with a strange kid we'd never been before. We don't know this kid we're going to see ghosts and shit with. At 10 to 12, I pulled on my down coat and crept out my bedroom window. Another cold, windy night, I felt sprinkles of frozen rain on my forehead, so I pulled up my hood. Stephanie was waiting for me at the bottom of her driveway. She had pulled her brown hair back in a ponytail. Her hair and shit was in a ponytail, you know what I'm saying? Her coat was open. She wore a heavy ski sweater underneath, pulled down over her jeans. She raised her head and let out a ghostly howl. I clapped my hand over her open mouth. You'll wake up the whole goddamn block, bitch! She laughed and backed away from me. I'm a little excited, aren't you? She opened her mouth in another howl. The frozen rain pattered the ground. We hurried toward Hill House. The swirling wind scattered twigs and dead leaves as we walked. Most of the house lights had been turned off. A car rolled by slowly as we turned onto Hill Street. Stephanie and I ducked behind a hedge. The driver might wonder why two kids were wandering around Wheeler Falls at midnight. I wondered too. We waited for the car to disappear. Then we continued our journey. Our sneakers crunched over the hard ground as we climbed the hill that led to the old haunted house. Hill House rose above us like a silent monster waiting to swallow us up. Silent but deadly, like a fart. The last tour had ended. The lights were all off. Otto and Edna and the other tour guides were probably all home by now. Come on, Duane. Hurry, Stephanie urged. We started to run around the side of the house. Seth is probably waiting. Wait up, I cried. We followed a narrow dirt path around the back. Squinting into the darkness like Chinamen, I searched for Seth. No sign of him. The backyard was cluttered with equipment of all kinds, like a white trash wonderland. A row of rusted metal trash cans formed a fence along one wall. I just went with that sound. A fence along one wall. A long wooden ladder lay on its side in the tall weeds. Wooden cartons and barrels and cardboard boxes were strewn everywhere. A hand lawnmower tilted against the house. It's so much darker back here, Stephanie stammered, not understanding how streetlights work. Do you see Seth? Bitch, I can't see shit, I replied in a whisper. Maybe he changed his mind. Maybe he isn't coming. Stephanie started to reply, but a choked cry from the side of the house made both of us jump. I turned to see Seth stagger into view. His blonde hair was wild, flying around his face. His eyes bulged. His hands gripped his throat. The ghost, he cried, stumbling clumsily. The ghost, he got me. Then Seth collapsed at our feet and didn't move. Now there's a different cat sitting on the toilet. Hi, Yoda. Chapter number 22. Nice try, Seth, I said calmly. Nice fall, Stephanie added. He raised his head slowly, staring up at us. I didn't fool you? No way, I replied. Stephanie rolled her eyes. That's joke number one, she told Seth. Joke number two is, when's the best time to go to the dentist? 2:30. I will work that joke into everything because it's my favorite ever. Duane and I have pulled that one 1,000 times. Seth climbed to his feet and brushed off the front of his black turtleneck. He scowled, disappointed. Just trying to give you a little scare. You'll have to do better than that, I told him. Duane and I are experts at giving scares, Stephanie added. It's sort of our hobby. Seth straightened his hair with both hands. You two are weird, he murmured. I brushed cold raindrops off my eyebrows. Can we get inside? I asked impatiently, gesturing to Stephanie's pants. Seth and I led the way to the narrow door at the far side of the house. Did you two have any trouble sneaking out? He asked, whispering. No trouble, Stephanie told him. Neither did I, he replied. Oh God.
Yoda, get off the computer! Yoda, get off the computer! Oh God, I have to check if that worked. Really, I have the laptop sitting as far away as possible and he's standing on the keyboard. Awesome. If it's all gone, I'm gonna go, take up cutting or something.
Sorry about that. Other tubby hairless cat was standing on the laptop. So he's holding down some key, and I was so afraid that he's going to make the already fickle software of Cool Edit Pro just close out and ruin everything I just did. But nope, he didn't. I just kind of took him off. And he's good, so that brings us back to Seth asking, "Did you two have any trouble sneaking out?" he asked, whispering. "No, no trouble," Stephanie told him. "Neither did I," he replied. He stepped up to the door and lifted the wooden latch. "I took the tour again tonight," he whispered. "Otto showed me some new things, some new rooms we can explore." I think he's talking about doing butt stuff. "Great," Stephanie exclaimed. "Do you promise we'll see a real ghost?" Seth turned back to her. A strange smile spread over his face. "Promise," he said.
Chapter number 23.
Seth gave the door a tug and it creaked open. We stepped inside into total blackness. It was like the Kevin Hart movie theater premiere.
That was words that would have made sense as a joke if they were organized in a different order. What the fuck is going on with my brain? Quick, Steel Reserve, fix me.
Too dark to see where we were. I took a few steps into the room and bumped into Seth. "Shh," he warned. "Manny, the night watchman, is posted in the front room. He'll probably be asleep anyway, but we'd better stay in the back."
"Where are we?" I whispered.
"In one of the back rooms," Seth whispered. "Wait a few seconds. Our eyes will adjust."
"Can't we turn on a light?" I asked.
"Ghosts won't come out in the light," Seth replied, thinking of cockroaches. We had closed the fucking door behind us and shit. But a cold wind still blew at my back. I shivered. A soft rattling sound made my breath catch in my throat. Was I starting to hear things? I pulled off my hood to hear better. Silence now.
"I think I know where I can find some candles," Seth whispered.
"You two wait here. Don't move."
Don't worry,
I stammered. I didn't plan to go anywhere until I could see. I heard Seth move away, making soft, scraping footsteps over the floor. Leaping as quiet as he could, his footsteps faded into silence. Then I felt another rush of cold wind against the back of my neck. "Oh," I cried out when I heard the rattling again, a gentle rattling, like the rattling of bones. Another cold gust of wind swept over me. A cold ghost's breath, I thought. My whole body shook as a chill ran down my back, through my butthole, and out my wee-wee. I heard the rattling bones again, louder, a chattering sound so close. I reached out in the thick blackness, tried to grab onto a wall or a table or anything, but my hands grabbed only air. I swallowed hard. "Calm down, Duane," I ordered myself. "Seth will be back in any moment with some candles. Then you'll see that everything is okay." But another jangle and clatter of bones made me gasp.
"Steph, did you hear that?" I whispered.
No reply. A cold wind tingled my neck. The bones rattled again. "Steph, do you hear that noise too, Steph?"
No reply. "Stephanie? Steph?
I called. That bitch was gone.
Chapter 24.
Panic time!
Wow, that'd be a completely different Hitchhiker's Guide. I like that it's 24 instead of 42. It's reversed. And panic time, which is like the opposite message of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a funny concept. I should tweet it out for people that will get the reference of chapter 24 of The Headless Ghost Get it? Because no one will, and everyone hates me, and I'm stupid, and no one gives a fuck about me, and I should just die. My breaths came short and fast. My heart clattered louder than the skeleton bones. My whole body began to shake. Stephanie? Steph, where are you? I choked out weakly. Then I saw the two yellow eyes moving toward me. Two glowing eyes floating gently, gleaming with evil, coming nearer, nearer. I bet it's the candles. I froze. I couldn't move. I couldn't see anything but the two gleaming yellow eyes, like a ghost with cirrhosis. Oh! I uttered a moan as they floated closer, and I could see them more clearly. See that they were candle flames. Two candle flames moving side by side, making beautiful love in the dark. Sticking my tiny candle flame in your tight candle vagina, making beautiful love and skeeting sparks. It's the best song I've ever made up. In the soft yellow light, I saw Seth's face and Stephanie's. They each carried a lighted candle like some sort of faggy-ass AIDS vigil in front of them. Stephanie, where were you? I cried in a choked whisper. I thought... I went with Seth, she replied calmly. The orange glow from her candle washed over me. I guess Stephanie could see how panicked I was. I'm sorry, Wayne, she said softly. I said I was going with Seth. I thought you heard me. Something is rattling, I stammered. Bones, I think. I keep feeling a cold wind, and I keep hearing... Seth handed me a candle. Light it, he instructed. We'll look around. See what's happening. I took the candle and raised it to his, but my hand was shaking so bad, like Dune in the morning. It took me 5 tries to light the wick. Finally, the candle flamed to life. I gazed around in the flickering orange light. Hey, we're in the kitchen, Stephanie whispered. A gust of cold wind blew past me. Did you feel that? I cried. Seth pointed his candle flag towards the window of the kitchen and shit. Look, Dwayne, that window pane, it's missing. The cold air is blowing in through the hole. Oh, right. Another blast of air and then the rattling. Did you hear it? I demanded. Stephanie giggled. She pointed to the kitchen wall. In the dim light, I saw big pots and pans hanging on the wall. The wind is making them rattle, Stephanie explained. I uttered a feeble laugh. I knew that. I was just trying to scare you, I lied. You know, give you a thrill. I felt like a total jerk, but why should I admit that a bunch of pots on the wall nearly had me scared out of my skin? Man, I hope I edit that out.
Okay, no more jokes, Stephanie insisted, turning to Seth. We want to see a real ghost. Follow me. I'll show you something that Otto told me about, Seth whispered. Holding his candle in front of him, he led the way across the kitchen to the wall beside the stove. He lowered his candle in front of a cabinet door, then he pulled the cabinet door and moved the candle closer so we could see inside. Why are you showing us a kitchen cabinet? I demanded. What's scary about that? I bet there's more to it. That's why he's showing it to you in the first place. You don't have to be such an ungrateful bitch. He's the one to let you in here in the first place. It's not a cabinet, Seth replied. See? It's a dumb waiter. Watch, you dumb fucker. He reached inside and pulled a rope beside the cabinet itself. The shelf began to slide up. He raised the shelf, then lowered it. See? This dumbwaiter is like a little elevator. It was used to send food from the kitchen to the master bedroom upstairs. You mean for midnight snacks? I joked. It wasn't funny. My fucking song about two candle flames fucking was way funnier than that. Seth nodded. The cook would put the food on the shelf. Then he would pull the rope and the shelf would carry it upstairs. Thrills and chills, I said sarcastically. Dude, why is Dwayne being such a bitch? Yeah, why are you showing it to us? Stephanie demanded. Seth brought the candle up close to his face. Otto told me this dumbwaiter is haunted. 120 years ago, things suddenly started going wrong with it. Stephanie and I moved closer. I lowered my candle and examined the dumbwaiter cabinet. What went wrong? I asked. Well, Seth began softly, the cook would put food on the shelf and send it upstairs. But when the shelf reached the bedroom up there, the food was gone. Oh my god, it's probably a Sam Squatch living in the like walls and shit. Stephanie narrowed her eyes. It disappeared between the first and second floor? Seth nodded solemnly. His gray eyes glowed in the soft candlelight. This happened several times. When the shelf reached the second floor, it was empty. The food had vanished. Wow, I murmured. The cook became very obese because he was eating the food. Just kidding, he became frightened, Seth continued. He was afraid the dumb waiter had become haunted. He decided to stop using it and he ordered everyone on his staff to never use the dumb waiter again. And that's the end of the story? I asked. Seth shook his head. And then, something horrible happened. Stephanie's mouth dropped open. What? What happened? Some kids were visiting the house. One of them was a boy named Jeremy. Jeremy was a real show-off and very athletic. When he saw the dumbwaiter, he decided it'd be fun to ride it to the second floor. Oh, fuck, Stephanie murmured. I felt a chill. I thought I could guess what was coming. So Jeremy squeezed onto the shelf, and one of the other kids pulled the rope. Suddenly, the rope caught. The kid couldn't get it to move up or down. Jeremy was stuck somewhere between heaven and hell. Oh, sorry, somewhere between the floors. The other kids called up to him. Are you okay? But Jeremy didn't reply. They started to get very worried. They tugged and tugged, but they couldn't move the rope. Then suddenly, the shelf came crashing back down. And was Jeremy on it? I asked eagerly. Seth shook his head. There were three covered bowls on the shelf. The kids lifted the lid of the first bowl. Inside was Jeremy's heart still beating. They opened the second bowl. Inside were Jeremy's eyes, still staring in horror. And they opened the third bowl and saw Jeremy's butthole, and it sprayed urea all over their face, and it was all chunky and full of corn. They were covered in diarrhea, and then they started vomiting, but the vomit was full of diarrhea, and then they vomited on each other, and the vomit had diarrhea in it, and then they drank each other's diarrhea, and then that's how they got AIDS. And saw Jeremy's teeth still chattering. The three of us stood silent in the orange glow of the candlelight. We stared at the dumbwaiter shelf. I shivered. The pots rattled against the wall, but I was no longer frightened by them because they're pots. I raised my eyes to Seth. Do you think the story is true? Stephanie laughed. Nervous laughter. It can't be true, she said. Seth's face remained solemn. Do you believe any of Otto's stories? He asked me quietly. Well, yes. No. Some. I couldn't decide. Otto swears the story is true, Seth insisted. But of course, he may just be doing his job. His job is to make the house as scary as possible. Otto's a great storyteller, Stephanie murmured. But enough stories. I want to see a real ghost. Follow me, Seth replied. His candle flame dipped low, clearly in its refractory period, as he spun around. He led us back through the kitchen into a long, narrow room at the back. This is the old butler's pantry, he announced. All the food for the house was stored here. Sorry, I have to check if it's recording all the time like a crazy person. Stephanie and I stepped past him, raising our candles to see the room better. When I turned around, Seth was closing the pantry door behind us. Then I saw him turn the lock. "Hey, what are you doing?" I cried. "Why are you locking us in here?" Stephanie demanded. Chapter 25. I dropped my candle. It bounced on the hard floor and the flame went out. The candle rolled under a shelf. When I glanced back up, Stephanie was storming towards Seth. "Seth, what are you doing?" she demanded angrily. "Unlock that fucking door. This isn't funny." I glanced around the long, narrow room. Shelves from floor to ceiling on three walls. No windows. No other door to escape through. With a sharp cry, Stephanie grabbed for the door handle, but Seth moved quickly to block her way. "Hey!" I cried, my heart pounding. I stepped up beside Stephanie. "What's the big idea, Seth?" I said, like someone who says things that no one says anymore. And shit. His silvery eyes glowed with excitement behind his candle flame. He stared back at us without speaking, the same cold stare I had seen on his face the night before. Stephanie and I took a step back, huddling close together. "Sorry, guys, but I played a little trick on you," he said finally. "Excuse me?" Stephanie cried, more angry than frightened. "What kind of trick?" I asked. He pushed back his long blonde hair with his free hand. The flickering candle sent shadows across his face. "My name isn't Seth," he said softly, so softly I could barely hear him. But, I stammered, "my name is Andrew," he said. Stephanie and I both cried out in surprise. Is Andrew the guy whose shit was in a bowl? No, that was Jeremy. Okay. Just making sure. But Andrew's the name of a ghost, Stephanie protested. The ghost who lost his head. I am the ghost, he said softly. A dry laugh escaped his lips, more like a cough than a laugh. I promised you a real ghost tonight. Well, here I am. He blew out the candle. He appeared to vanish with the light. But Seth, Stephanie started. Andrew, he corrected her. My name is Andrew. My name has been Andrew for more than 100 fucking years. Let us out of here, I pleaded. We won't tell anyone we saw you. We won't. I can't let you go, he replied in a whisper. I remembered the story of the sea captain's ghost. When Andrew stumbled into the sea captain's room and saw the old ghost, the sea captain had said the same thing to him. Now that you have seen me, I can never let you go. You lost your head, I blurted out. So you can't be Andrew, Stephanie cried. You have a head. In the dim light from Stephanie's candle, I could see the sneer spread over Andrew's face. No, he said softly. No, I do not have my head. This is one that I borrowed. He raised both hands to the sides of his face. Here, let me show you, he said. Then he pressed his hands against his cheeks and started to tug the head up from the black turtleneck. Oh, shit! Goosebumps! Let's drink more malt liquor. Remind me, which by the way, you can't remind me. Remind me to finish the Steel Reserve after this chapter. I need to now because it's getting warm. And the last half inch of warm Steel Reserve is one of the most painful things you'll have to drink. I guess you don't have to drink it. Most people don't. I'm not saying most people that drink Steel Reserve don't. I'm saying most people would never fucking drink Steel Reserve because it tastes like urine metal. But I love it. And I throw it in the bathtub with me. It's like a submarine on the surface. Oh god, it's ticking against the top of the tub. Wait up one second. Alright, I'm drowning it. It's a tall can too. That's why it's taking forever to drown. Sorry.
So how you guys doing?
Okay. It's done being drowned.
Chapter number 26.
No, stop! Stephanie screeched. I shut my eyes. I really didn't want to see him pull his head off. When I opened my eyes, Andrew had lowered his hands. I gazed once again around the narrow pantry. How could we escape? How could we get out of there? The ghost was blocking the only exit. Why did you trick us? Stephanie asked Andrew. Why did you bring us here? Why did you lie to us? Sorry, I'm burping, and it tastes like hell. Andrew sighed. I told you, I borrowed this head. He ran one hand through the hair, then down the cheek as if petting it. I borrowed it, but I have to return it. Stephanie and I stared back at him in silence, waiting for him to continue, waiting for him to explain. I saw you last night in the tour group, he said. Finally, his eyes locked on me. The others couldn't see me, but I made myself visible to you. Why? I asked in a trembling voice. Because of your head, he replied. I like your head. I need your head. Huh? A frightened gasp escaped my throat. He gripped the blonde hair again. I have to return this head, Dwayne, he said calmly and coldly. So I'm going to take yours.
Chapter 27.
A frightened giggle escaped my throat. Tee-hee-hee. Why do people suddenly start laughing when they're terrified? I guess it's because if you don't laugh, you'll scream or explode, or I don't fucking know science. Trapped in that small, dark room with a 100-year-old ghost that wanted my head, I felt like laughing, screaming, exploding all at once. I stared hard at Andrew, squinting in the dim light. You're kidding, right? He shook his head. His silvery eyes narrowed, hard and whole, hard and cold.
I need your head, Dwayne,
he said softly. He shrugged as if apologizing. I'll pull it off quickly, it won't hurt a bit. But I need it too, I sputtered. I'm only going to borrow it. Andrew said. He took a step toward us. I'll return it when I find my own head. Promise. You're not cheering me up, I replied. He took another step toward us. Stephanie and I backed up a step. He took a step. We backed up a step. He took a step. We backed up a step. We didn't have much more room to back up. We were nearly to the back wall of pantry shelves. Suddenly, Stephanie spoke up. Andrew will find your head, she offered. Her voice shook. I turned to her. I'd never seen her scared before. Knowing that Stephanie was scared made me feel even more scared. For sure, I croaked. We'll find your real head. We'll search all night. We know this house really well. I'm sure we can find it if you give us a chance. He stared back at us without replying. I wanted to get down on my knees and fucking suck him off if he'd give us a chance.
Oh, God, maybe I need glasses.
I wanted to get down on my knees and beg him to give us a chance.
Maybe my vision's going.
But I was afraid that if I got down on my knees, he'd pull my fucking dome off. We'll find it, Andrew. I know we will, Stephanie insisted. He shook his head. His borrowed head. There's no way, he murmured softly. How long have I been searching this house? For more than 100 years. For more than 100 years, I've searched every hallway, every room, every closet. He took another step closer. His eyes were locked on my head. I knew he was studying it, thinking about how it would look on his shoulders. In all these years, I haven't found my head. Andrew continued. So what makes you think you can find it tonight?
Well, Stephanie turned to me. Maybe we'll get lucky, I declared.
Lame. How lame can you get? Sorry, Andrew murmured. I need your head, Dwayne. We're wasting time. Give us a chance, I cried. He took a step closer. He was studying my hair now, probably deciding if he should let it grow longer. Andrew, please, I begged. It was no use. His eyes were glassy now. He reached out both hands and took another step. Stephanie and I backed up. Give me your head, Dwayne, the ghost whispered. My back bumped a shelf on the wall behind me. I need your head, Dwayne. Stephanie and I huddled close and pressed our back against the wall and the shelves and stuff and whatnot. The ghost floated closer, hands outstretched. We pressed ourselves tighter against the shelves. My elbow bumped something hard. I heard some heavy objects fall from the shelf. I need your head, Dwayne. He clenched and unclenched his hands. Two more steps and he'd be close enough to grab me. Your head. Give it to me. I jammed my back against the shelves. I heard a creaking sound and the shelf started to slide. I stumbled back and realized that the whole wall was sliding. What's happening? I stammered. The ghost reached for my head. Gotcha.
Chapter 28.
The ghost leaped at me. Hands outstretched, I ducked and stumbled back as the wall slid away. The wall made a loud grinding sound as it slowly spun around. Stephanie fell hard to the floor. I pulled her up quickly as Andrew made another wild grab for my head. A tunnel! I shouted over the grinding wall. As the wall spun away, it revealed a dark opening just big enough to squeeze through. I pulled Stephanie to the opening and we squeezed inside. We found ourselves in a long, low passageway. Some kind of tunnel? Hidden behind the sliding wall? I'd already heard about old houses that had...
Let's try this again, Dune. I can't believe you're almost done. Not quite almost, but still.
I'd always heard about old houses that had secret halls and hidden rooms built in them. I never thought I'd be so glad to find one.
I never thought I'd be so glad to be able to turn a fucking page.
Stephanie and I started to run. Our footsteps echoed loudly on the concrete floor. We ran past bare concrete walls, cracked and pitted by time.
Time makes fools of us all.
We had to stoop as we ran. The ceiling wasn't as tall as we were. Stephanie slowed down to glance back. Is he following us? Just keep running, I cried. The tunnel has got to lead out here. Out of this house, it's got to. I can't see where it leads, she replied breathlessly. The low tunnel stretched out in a straight line. I could see only darkness at the end. Did it stretch on forever? If it did, I'd keep running forever. I didn't plan to stop running until I was safely outside. And once I was outside, I planned never to visit Hill House again. And I planned to stay away from ghosts and to keep my head on my own goddamn shoulders where it fucking belonged. Big plans. Big plans don't always work out. Oh! Stephanie and I both cried out as we nearly crashed into a solid concrete wall. The tunnel ended. It just ended. It doesn't go anywhere, I gasped. Breathing hard, I pounded both fists against the wall. Who would build a secret tunnel that leads nowhere? Push on the wall, Stephanie cried. Let's both push. Maybe the wall will slide open too. We turned and leaned our shoulders into the wall and pushed. Groaning and gasping, I pushed with all my strength. I was still pushing when I heard the scraping footsteps moving toward us down the tunnel. Andrew. Push, Stephanie cried. We shoved ourselves against the wall. Come on, slide, slide, I ordered it. I glanced back and saw Andrew jogging slowly, steadily toward us. We're trapped, Stephanie moaned. She collapsed against the wall with a sigh. Andrew came trotting closer. Duane, I want your head, he called, his voice echoing against the concrete walls. Trapped, Stephanie murmured. Maybe not, I choked out. I pointed into the dark corner. Look, a ladder. Huh? Stephanie leaped to her feet. She squinted at the ladder. A metal ladder. The rungs blanketed with dust. It led straight up the wall through a small square opening in the low ceiling. To where? Give me your head, the ghost called. It'd be funny if I edited this whole book down so I got rid of your in front of every head, and then it would just be a super horny ghost. I grabbed the sides of the metal ladder, I raised a foot onto the first rung, and peered straight up into the rung hole, into thick black darkness. I couldn't see a thing up there. Duane, Stephanie whispered. We don't know where it leads. It doesn't matter, I replied, starting to climb. We don't have a choice, do we? Chapter number 29. Where are you going, Duane? I need your head. I ignored the ghost shout and scrambled up the ladder. Stephanie kept bumping me from behind. My sneakers slipped on the thick dust. My hands slid over the cold metal railings. Duane, you can't get away, Andrew called from down below. Straight up the ladder, Stephanie and I, breathing hard, climbed frantically, as fast as we could climb. Straight up. Until the ladder started to tilt. No! I uttered a scream as it spilled forward. A crumbling, cracking noise drowned out my scream. It took me a few seconds to realize that the wall was breaking apart, crumbling into powdery chunks like good cocaine. Checking that it's still recording. Really? Sunk steel reserve can? You have to be the loudest thing ever. Fucking shit. Sorry. My hand's wet from moving the steel reserve can. I need to use it to check if I turn the page. Because I don't remember if I turned the page because of the steel reserve. And we were falling. I heard Stephanie scream. I grabbed the metal railings with both hands and held tight, but the ladder was sailing down now, tumbling over the crackling, crumbling old wall. Ow, fuck! I landed hard, bounced once, bounced twice. My hands flew up and I was tossed off the ladder. I rolled onto my stomach, rolled in the chunks of dirt and concrete on the broken wall. Stephanie landed on her knees where she belonged. She shook her head, dazed. Chunks of wall spilled all around us. Stephanie's hair was covered in dust. I shielded my eyes and waited for the wall to stop crumbling down. When I opened my eyes, Andrew stood above me. His hands were balled into fists. His mouth hung open and he was staring past me. I struggled to my feet, turned to see what he was staring at. A hidden room. Stephanie cried, moving beside me. A room behind the old wall. Slipping over the chunks of broken concrete, I took a few steps closer to the room and saw what Andrew was staring at. A head. A boy's head lying on the floor of the hidden room. I don't believe it, Stephanie gasped. We found it. Damn, that was easy. We actually found it. I swallowed hard. I took a careful step forward. The head was pale, shimmering white. Even in the dim light, I could clearly see that it was a boy's head, but the long, wavy hair had turned to white. The round eyes glowed green, sparkling like emeralds into the shimmering, pale face. The ghost head, I murmured. I turned back to Andrew. Your head, we found it for you. I expected to see a smile on his face. I expected to see him shout or jump for joy. For 100 years, he had waited for this moment, and now his search was over. But to my shock, Andrew's face was twisted in horror. He wasn't even looking at his long-lost head. He stared above it. And as he stared, his entire body began to quiver as if he did 15 whippets at once. Frightened cries escaped his lips. "Andrew, what's your problem?" I demanded. But I don't think he even heard me. He stared up at the ceiling, trembling, hands balled into tight fists at his sides. Then slowly, he raised one hand and pointed.
"No!"
he moaned.
"Oh, no!"
I turned to see what had frightened him. Turned in time to see a filmy figure float down from the ceiling. At first, I thought it was a thin window curtain falling from above, but as it curled slowly, softened the floor, I saw that it had arms and legs. I could see right through it. The air around us suddenly grew cold.
It's a ghost! Stephanie cried, grabbing my arm.
The ghost landed softly, silently on the floor of the hidden room, raising its arms like bird wings. Coo-brr! Stephanie and I both gasped as it raised its arms and stood upright. It was short and very thin. It wore baggy, old-fashioned looking pants and a long-sleeved shirt with a high collar. A high collar, a collar, and no fucking head! The ghost had no head. I felt a burst of cold air as it bent down, shimmering, bending as if a soft gauze it was made out of. It reached down, lifted the head off the floor, lifted the head to the stiff, tall collar, and gently pressed the head into place. And as the head touched the ghostly, gauzy neck, the green eyes flashed. The cheeks twitched. The pale white eyebrows arced up and down. And the mouth moved. "What up?" That'd be funny if that's what it said, but it didn't. The ghost turned to us, to Stephanie and me, and the lips moved in a silent, "Thank you. Thank you." And then the arms rose into the air, its green eyes still on us. The ghost floated up in the air. Lighter than air, it floated silently up. I watched in amazement, my heart pounding until the ghostly figure vanished into the darkness. And then Stephanie and I both turned to Andrew at the same time. We had just seen the headless ghost. We had just seen Andrew, the boy from 100 years ago. We had just watched him collect his head. But the boy who claimed to be Andrew was still there. He stood behind us, still trembling, his eyes wide, staring into the hidden room, making soft swallowing sounds. I narrowed my eyes at that bitch-ass motherfucker. "If you aren't Andrew," I started, "if you aren't the headless ghost, then who are you?"
I like that I just constantly think it's magically going to stop recording.
Chapter number. God damn it, I'm trying not to drop shaving cream into the bathtub with me 31. Stephanie turned on the boy too. "Yeah, who the fuck are you?" she asked angrily. "If you're not the headless ghost, why did you chase us?" I demanded. "Well, The boy raised both hands as if surrendering. Then he started to back away. He had only gone 3 or 4 steps when we heard footsteps coming down the long tunnel. I turned to Stephanie. "Another ghost? Who's in here?"
"Who's in here?"
a deep voice boomed, a circle of light from a flashlight sweeping over the tunnel.
"Who's in here?"
the voice repeated. I recognized the deep voice.
"Auto Man!"
"Back here," the boy called softly.
"Seth, is that you?"
The circle of light floated closer. Otto appeared behind it, squinting back at us.
"What's going on? What are you doing back here? This part of the house is dangerous. It's falling apart, for fuck's sake."
"Well, we're exploring,"
Seth started, and we got lost. It really wasn't our fault. Otto gazed at Seth sternly. Then his face filled with surprise as his flashlight washed over Stephanie and me. You two, how'd you get in? What are you doing here?
He let us in, I answered. I pointed to Seth.
Otto turned back to Seth and shook his head unhappily. More of your tricks? Were you scaring these kids?
No, not really, Uncle Otto, Seth replied, keeping his eyes on the ground.
Uncle Otto? So Seth is Otto's nephew.
Maybe he's his real nephew, or maybe he just means in the Snoop Dogg sense.
No wonder he knew so much about Hill House.
Tell the truth, Seth, Otto insisted. Were you pretending to be a ghost again? Have you played that trick on enough kids? Have you scared enough kids to death?
Seth stood silent. Otto rubbed a hand back over his smooth, bald head. Then he let out a weary sigh.
We have a business to run here, he told Seth. Do you want to scare my customers away? Do you want to get the whole neighborhood upset?
Seth lowered his head and didn't reply. I could see he was in major trouble, so I decided to jump in.
It's okay, Otto, I said. He didn't scare us.
That's right, Stephanie chimed in. We didn't believe he was a ghost, did we, Duane?
Of course not, I replied. He didn't fool us for a minute, especially when we saw the real ghost, Stephanie added.
Otto turned to her, studying her in the light of the flashlight.
The what?
The real ghost?
Stephanie insisted. We saw the real ghost, Uncle Otto.
Seth exclaimed. It was a fucking awesome.
Otto rolled his eyes.
Save the joke, Seth. It's too late. You're just trying to get out of trouble.
No, really, I insisted.
Really?
Stephanie and Seth cried.
We saw the headless ghost, Uncle Otto.
You've got to believe us, Seth pleaded.
Sure, sure, Otto muttered.
He turned and motioned with his flashlight.
Come on, everybody out.
Come on, everybody.
Sorry.
I was just checking to make sure it's chapter 32, the final chapter. Megaboodoo, zippy bow.
After our scary night at Hill House, Stephanie and I gave up haunting the neighborhood. It just wasn't that exciting anymore, especially since we'd seen a real ghost. We stopped sneaking out at night. We stopped peeking into kids' windows in scary masks. We stopped hiding behind bushes and howling like werewolves in the middle of the night. We gave up all the scary stuff, and we never even talked about ghosts. Stephanie and I found other things to be interested in. I tried out for the basketball team at school and became a starting forward.
No way, that's pretty exciting. Good for him.
Stephanie joined the theater arts club like a douche. This spring, she's going to be Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. Either Dorothy or a munchkin.
That's a big difference, isn't it? You know, they're not the same thing at all.
We had a good winter. Lots of snow. Lots of unscary fun. Then late one evening, we were heading home from a birthday party. It was the first warm night of spring. Tulips were blooming in some of the front yards we passed. The air smelled fresh and sweet. I stopped in front of Hill House and gazed up at the old mansion. Stephanie stopped beside me. She read my mind.
You want to go in, don't you, Duane?
I nodded.
How about taking the tour? We haven't been there since.
My voice trailed off.
Hey, why not?
Stephanie replied. We climbed the steep hill. Tall weeds brushed the legs of my jeans as I made my way to the front door. The huge old house stood as dark and creepy as ever. As Stephanie and I climbed onto the front stoop, the door creaked open, as it always had. We stepped into the small front entry. A few seconds later, Otto bounced into view, dressed in all black. A friendly smile on his round, bald Andrew Zimmern-looking head.
You two, he exclaimed happily, welcome back.
He called into the front room.
Edna, come see who's here.
Edna came tottering into the room.
Oh my, she cried, pressing a hand against her pale, wrinkled face. We were wondering if we'd ever see you two again. I gazed into the front room. No other customers. Could you take us on the tour? I asked Otto. He smiled his toothy smile. Of course. Wait, I'll get my lantern. Otto took us around Hill House. He gave us the complete tour. It was great to see the house again, but it no longer held any secrets for Stephanie and me. After the tour, we thanked Otto and said goodnight. We were halfway down the hill when a police car pulled up to the curb. A dark, uniformed officer stuck his head out of the passenger window. What were you kids doing up there? He called. Stephanie and I made our way down to the police car. The officers eyed us suspiciously. We just took the tour, I explained, pointing up to Hill House. Tour? What tour? The officer demanded. You know, the haunted house tour? Stephanie replied impatiently. The police officer stuck his head farther out the window. He had blue eyes and freckles all over his face. What were you really doing up there? He asked softly. We told you, I said shrilly. Taking the tour, that's all. Behind the wheel, the other policeman chuckled. Maybe a ghost gave them the tour, he told his partner. There are no tours, the freckled-faced officer said, frowning. There haven't been any tours in that house for months. Stephanie and I both uttered cries of surprise. The house is empty, the police officer continued. Shut down. There hasn't been anyone in there all winter. Hill House went out of business 3 months ago. Huh? Stephanie and I exchanged startled glances. Then we both turned to gaze up at the house. The gray stone turrets rose up into the purple-black sky. Nothing but darkness all around. And then I saw a trail of soft light across the front window. Lantern light. Orange and soft as smoke. And the soft light, I saw Otto and Edna. They floated in front of the window. I could see right through them as if they were made of gauze. They're ghosts too, I realized, staring into the soft, smoky light. I blinked and the light faded out. The end. Fuck this.
Fuck everyone I've read recently.
What the fuck? That was boring. It seemed way longer than other ones. And it turns out there are ghosts. Cool. And it's like the questions it brings up of were they ghosts all along? Or did they become ghosts in the interim? Aren't very entertaining. I would assume it's the interim and has to do with the night they're there, but I don't know. I don't know about this. I spend a lot of time reading Goosebumps. It affects my personal life. I don't get anything out of it. All the books are terrible now. It seems like it was just the first 20 or so that are good. What am I doing? This sucks. I'm not even joking now. Normally I say all this shit sarcastically, but what the fuck? This is seriously maybe a waste of time. Maybe I shouldn't come back after I get back from New Orleans. Stay spooky, bitches.